another big GoldSeek.com radio episode and our featured guest. He's the editor and chief investment strategist of Charts and Markets. Welcome back, Bob Hoy.
Hello there, and it's good to be with you, Chris.
We've had an interesting ongoing friendly discussion slash dialogue slash debate, if you will. I was early on it for that around 900 to 1,000. I said, this thing is going to go high. I don't know how high. You all called the top. And of course, it's very hard to shift gears when you've been bullish for a year. However, I did recently call the top at 6,000 to 8,400. And then the collapse came. You gave me credit for that. I appreciate that. So none of us, I guess, are 100%. We help people craft a better ontology, if you will, or worldview of what's going on in these financial arenas. Article today from a major outlet, of course, Reuters, brought to us by our friends at Gata, Chris Powell and Bill Murphy, that Bitcoin, its usefulness as a payment system is a distant dream as use for cryptocurrencies dries up, the use case. And I wanted to address this because it's a topic that I've debated with some of the really sharpest minds in the financial world today, and I think I've made a pretty solid case. And while talking with Tim Draper, hedge fund manager, if you will, and university creator in Silicon Valley, you may have heard he bought Bitcoin at $400 from U.S. Marshals, made about $1 billion off of that. We had a discussion on the show where we were discussing this topic. Visa and MasterCard process something like thousands of transactions per second, whereas Bitcoin, it's barely 10 or 20 per second. And they, you know, all these detractors are so quick to hop on the inconsistencies and ambiguities involved with cryptocurrencies, and in particular, the Bitcoin king, if you will, of the currency market. And I want to bring up a couple of interesting anecdotes that are 100% true that I think quickly and painlessly refute this case that's being used against Bitcoin. There was a transaction on the week that I spoke with Tim Draper last on the show, and it was something like in the neighborhood of $19 million was sent across borders to South America in Bitcoin. The person had to pay for a business transaction and opted not to do so in currencies. In order to settle the transaction, it would have required approximately 6 days, almost a week. There were $19,000 in fees associated with banking and many other legalities involved. Financial nightmare. Bitcoin transferred the bitcoins. There was a small fee, as I mentioned, it was $29 as opposed to $19,000. There's frankly no chargebacks allowed. Whereas with Bitcoin, once it's yours, it's yours. I mentioned to Bob Hoy, please tell your clients we're going to 3,500. The real risk here, if I can also look forward on Bitcoin, unfortunately, is once we find a consolidation pattern, start to look at 1,500 to even 1,000 for the next consolidation lows. Because it's a bubble, what do we know? 90% of the time, they return not just to the mean, but oftentimes overshoot their starting point.
Bubbles do the round trip up to extraordinary highs and back to where they started. But on the cryptocurrencies and blockchains and all of this stuff, I'm still staying, Chris, that somewhere out of this, there will be a constant valued currency that is liquid and tradable and accountable and all that. And I don't know about these guys at Sprott in Toronto. They're talking about a crypto gold-backed or something, which is great. Try everything, and out of it will come a currency that's usable, and it can't be abused by governments. Chris, as you know, our work on the popular uprising is where the public has had enough of experts in government, and the phrase I've used is they've had too much of in-your-face and in-your-wallet government. So it's another popular uprising where the people will take over their government. Now, also with this, they will make sure that they have a sound currency. No more using government nonsense currencies. So we are in very exciting times on that, and I'm convinced and that somewhere in here, the blockchain crypto stuff will provide a as sound as currency as can be made. And if that also is exciting. So then you'll say that, okay, if you got a constant valued currency, how can you make money in gold? Well, it's just like back when in England or the U.S. was on a gold standard, all you need to have the costs of mining drop relative to the price you're getting for the bullion. The miners make money. Like, for example, in 1929, the price of gold was fixed at that $20.67. With the costs going up in the boom, Homestake was the premier producer, and their costs went up, and they lost money, and the stock didn't perform well in the 1920s, and of course it came down in the crash, but you could buy it in 1931 for, let's say, $9 a share, and then with the contraction, mining costs, cost of power, cost of wages, cost of equipment went down. So that if you take a look then at Homestake at the end of 1932, when the price was still $20.67 a share, the stock was up something like 130%, and their earnings were up in that order as well. So it was backed. And then as you continued through the Depression, then Roosevelt devalued and, you know, then took the price of gold to $35. But the main thing was is that the real price was going up. So that $9 Homestake stock got up to something like $65. And it was then in those days, they gold miners paid everything out by way of dividend. So during the 1930s, it was paying $4.50 a share on a $9 purchase. Now, that's not going to happen this time around because gold miners are interested in building assets rather than paying out cash. But you're going to have the same fabulous bull market for gold stocks. I hope I'm around for it.
Again, you sparked a couple of thoughts. Detractors are constantly pointing to the fact that Bitcoin is a haven for every other nefarious activity. At least two or three key inaccuracies in this belief that I'd like to address. Firstly, fiat money is the key means of procuring, you know, the underground, if you will, under the table. It is virtually every other activity we won't go into. So Bitcoin is the antithesis, I propose today, of useful for harmful activities, simply because it's so easily tracked. It's a remarkably transparent transaction. Eventually, an alternative to an extremely ruthless and manipulated political currency mechanism that favors the elite and the globalists at the expense of the everyday individual, at the expense of personal freedoms and liberties.
Yeah, you're much more up on the details of all it is, and I'm just on to the major concept that the public will have a sound currency, and the crypto side, the blockchain, will probably be involved one way or another, and it will be an idea here, there, but it will be an evolution. And, you know, I'm so excited about this popular uprising and the reform spreading around the world. And you look back at the last popular uprising, which was in the 1980s in Eastern Europe under the brutal fist of communism, where the public had enough. They looked at how well the governing classes were living. They looked at the promises from the governing classes and look what they got. And there was an instant in time where, as you know, reading Solzhenitsyn about the Gulag Archipelago, where the police would come in the middle of the night and take you away. So, but that fist, the authoritarian fist, is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week nonstop. Now, the underside of this is the ordinary people who live under complacency for this, and it's like a turn in the financial markets where suddenly those on top lose the will to impose authority, and virtually at the same instant, and it changes. And whereas, like, you had a circumstance in Prague, Czechoslovakia in 1968, when there was an uprising, but then the communists had enough will to send in the tanks and the troops, and there was state murder there. And at the time of 1989, I was reading that Jaroslawski, the guy in East Germany, was thinking about sending in tanks to bring it down. But, Chris, they lost the will to do it. So here's what you have now going on in the United States and perhaps beginning in Canada, is the authoritarians are extremely ambitious, and they've got these crazy ideas about controlling the temperature of the planet, but they are, of course, doing it through taxes and regulations. And so the public can suddenly discover common sense. And this is what's going on now. The state, that not only can it manage the economy, but it can also manage the temperature of the nearest planet. So you now are in what looks like a severe contraction, in which case the public's going to say, oh, you spent trillions of dollars of our tax dollars to prevent bad things from happening. Now, bad things are happening. That sounds like a title for a Stephen King novel. And then the other one is you're spending trillions of dollars in hopes of controlling the temperature of the Earth. And the Thanksgiving weekend on the eastern part of the continent was extremely cold. One weather service says the nastiest start to winter on record. So then I believe that this cooling trend will continue. And then the public's going to say to their governments to think you can manage the temperature of the Earth. So these two events, the slowing economy and a cooling climate, will end the great experiment in authoritarian government that's gone on basically since 1900. And so here again, Chris, I tell my family and my colleagues that on the political side, we're in the most exciting times for the individual since the early 1600s, which was the last time the general public had to reform intrusive government. So, Chris, exciting times.
Exciting times indeed. And I'd like to close here with just a brief comment on this tragedy we've seen in Paradise, California. There were 12,000 structures lost, essentially every house, with very few exceptions, over 10,000 houses. That's single family homes, not hotels or apartments. 10,000 individual homes, over 100 lives, still hundreds missing, and hundreds, if not thousands, of displaced people who have no means to get back home. Payouts can take weeks, months, even years, and many people lost their bullion, their jewelry. So I've spent really a week crafting a proposal that I've sent to top folks, all the firefighter officials in California, Tim Draper and Elon Musk's teams, as well as now there's 8,000 evacuations in eastern Australia, where there's raging infernos there as well. Very common, of course, in Australia as well. Very arid conditions. So as a result, I've sent to their 30 top firefighting officials in that region, and I'm calling it Poor Richard's $729 Neighborhood Fire Shield. And the basic gist of it, because we just don't have the time to go into all the details, for a very small amount of money, you can store in your basement or your garage a Mylar shield that rolls out and covers a house in only 20 minutes with two people, can wrap it around the house and evacuate the premises. Now, unlike an earthquake or a tornado where there's very little time to prepare, most of these infernos are giant walls of fire that give hours and, in many cases, days of advance notice, potentially in harm's way. Now, 20 minutes compared to hours, days, and or a week is ample time. And you might say, well, $720 sounds like a lot of money. 10,000 homes times $729, $7 million compared to the tens of billions that were just lost, hundreds of people, thousands of pets that were lost, entire towns missing. So again, $7 million is not even the budget of some of these medium-sized communities. Simply by storing them in a garage, the firefighters and other utility people would have quick access to it. They wouldn't even have to talk to the people. You could have it stored outside the house, just like a fire extinguisher, if you will, and they could be deployed very quickly by small teams in each neighborhood. And you might be thinking, well, Chris, that would take an enormous number of people. No, it would not, because these infernos, they come in walls of fire. So you would simply address one or two neighborhoods closest to the fire. It would only take a few hours per neighborhood, saving not only hundreds of lives per year, maybe thousands, but entire communities. Wouldn't it be a relief to know that others, tens of thousands perhaps, were spared such a tragedy? And not asking for donations or anything. Let's not let this tragedy become the next series of tragedies. Think of it as a last resort. The firefighters in the field, it's required that they carry a tent, a Mylar tent. They hop into it. If they get stuck, it just happens. Let's not let another town be lost.
We cover interest rates, equities, commodities, currencies, precious metals, and you can get in touch real easy, just bobhoy.com. And we welcome people to take a look at what we're doing. But just Google Bob Hoy and you'll get it. As you know, Chris, and you can get in touch with us, Bob Hoy, just do bobhoy.com. That would be bobhoy.com.
Bob Hoy, Institutional Advisor. We'll talk soon.
Good to talk. Bye-bye.